fans, and welcome on back to Season 3 and Episode 40 of Scotland's premier Fife-based podcast, Fife Club. What's the first rule of Fife Club? Please.
Talk about Fife Club.
About Fife Club, yeah. So if you are joining us again, then thank you. We have taken a couple of weeks break and are back, hopefully, with some new content. We do have a few different bits and pieces in the pipeline over the next sort of, what, 10 to 19 or so.
There's a joke in there somewhere.
Pipe to pipe Bushman. So we've got a couple of different things. We're going to be chatting with the guys at Little Shop of Heroes. We're going to do a Star Wars reaction thing.
Which you'll be like, oh my god, with a shocked face at every second.
Yeah.
Where nothing's happening. Because that's how you get likes on YouTube, people. That's how you get views.
Yeah. Is us just going, Oh my God.
I can't believe they did that.
Like the Twilight trailer.
Yeah, we're actually going to be in the cinema recording it, just annoying everybody else.
Unless you're that...
Film the movie, I'll be fine.
Unless you're that priest who watched the Force Awakens trailer, I'm not interested in your reaction video.
I've not seen that.
Oh, you need to watch it. He's like a little, boy. It's really funny.
A priest like a little boy.
Likes.
Allegedly. But yeah, so we're going to do that. We'll probably do that after we'll see the film then come out and just record a little bit and have a wee chat about what we think and pop that up. We have we're going to try and get another couple of interviews on the go with some people we've met through a Scottish podcast group. See if we can get some meetups with them. And we are also going to be attending, and we've already talked about this before, but attending the Dunfermline Comic Con in March, and then the following weekend, the Fife Whiskey Festival.
Oh, fuck
which
yes.
Which we need to sort tickets out for.
All right.
We need to do that. Right, yeah. But yeah, that'll be something, I think. So yeah.
Certainly will be.
Yeah, exactly. So keep coming back. I think it might be interesting. We'll try to entertain you one way or another. So yeah. Come back, please. Pretty please. Anyway, on the mics tonight with my good self, Kutch, is everyone's favourite MMA enthusiast, Jamie.
Hello. Who's very hurt from doing MMA just last night?
You said you were doing the wrestling.
It was wrestling. Yeah. But it was very much MMA wrestling.
All right.
It was.
Not like 10-minute dialogue and then somebody throws a steel chair at you and fights you for a contract for another fight.
I feel like I was put through a table.
In fact, it was just Jamie.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, my voice sounds a bit weird. It's because I've basically fucked my back from a poor posture while trying to lift Dave, which was...
Best of luck.
Yeah. I'll skip to the end. I didn't. So I just took him down his head, but I can... Yeah, sorry about my voice. It's because my neck is fucked.
That's why it sounds like a girl. So next to him is a bloke that is sort of here sometimes. It's Dave.
Oh, what?
That's my favourite joke. Brilliant, man. Yeah.
Hello. Yeah. Really busy at work.
I was just about to say, Keytown Cuts has been busy at work, listeners. A little bit low effort on this intro.
Just like, they're here.
I think that's going to be a fighting name.
A bloke that's sometimes here.
Dave, a bloke that's sometimes here. Rogers.
Oh, that's good. So yeah, it's just the three of us tonight because Mark is doing his thing that he likes to get money for.
Selling his body at the docks.
Yeah.
Tell you what, if he sold cocktails at the docks, I'd buy them.
I really actually wondered what you were about to say there.
Well, yeah, me too. Yeah.
His cocktails are fucking delicious.
His cocktails are. The boy knows his flavours.
He does.
He's
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. He's either nailing it or we're really fucked by the time we have them.
It's maybe a bit of both. I think he's more nailing it though.
Because, you know, I think we're all in a dubious state by the time the cocktails come out.
It's true.
By the time he comes through with his little trolley dolly tray, drinks
A literal drinks trolley.
Yeah. Filled with absolutely every imaginable kind of alcohol you can imagine.
Yeah.
And probably some that you can't.
No.
Because I'm pretty sure there's some that he's made himself.
Really?
Yeah, his kind of gins and stuff. Mm, dangerous.
Nice. Tito vodka.
So, yeah, Jamie, would you like to give us the socials?
Yes. Please talk to us on Facebook at facebook.com/fiveclubpod or at fiveclubpod, Twitter at fiveclub, email Ken at fiveclub.co.uk, Instagram fiveclub, or on our website at www.fiveclub.co.uk.
Perfect.
Like a pro.
It's not like you do that often.
I know. I still need a bit of paper.
It's like a security blanket.
It is. I can do without it, but I
like it there.
I do.
Do you even look at it? Is it just there, but you sort of just see blobs on
it? I just look through it.
Close your eyes and hold your hand on it.
Yeah. I've got faith of the heart.
Little Star Trek joke for those out there. Anyway.
Oh my god.
This is what happens when you're not here, Mark.
Star Trek jokes.
Yeah. I'll try and put a stop to that, Mark. Don't worry.
Well, before we do actually go any further, I would like to give a wee shout out to another podcast which gave us a wee shout out and absolutely mangled my name. I loved it. Thank you. But yeah, it's a podcast that's based on one of the Caribbean islands. I can't remember which one now. It was one of the ones that was like absolutely devastated by the hurricanes.
It's not the Virgin Islands, memory serves.
I can't remember.
Okay.
Anyway, that's... I'm really good. But yeah, they talk about comic books, movies, TV shows, you know, sort of that kind of realm of things. And it's two folk that do that. And it's actually really good. I've listened to a couple of episodes. So they gave us a shout out. It's Beautiful Losers. And you can get them on iTunes. And
that sounds like us.
Yeah. Beautiful Losers. Yeah.
Well, half of it. We're stunned.
So yeah, if you want to listen to anything like that, give them a listen. They are they're very good. They're like us, but more geeky, even more geeky. And I don't know how that that's really possible.
Bloody
actually, they're probably actually cooler than us
and more geeky.
And more geeky, yeah, oh, yeah.
Shit.
So yeah, check them out.
Yeah, speaking of being cooler than people, I had a moment earlier on, and I was this is in front of Charlotte as well. I was sitting writing some notes up for the podcast tonight.
Okay. Oh god!
And I was thinking, like, what can I do? So I sat fiddling about, and I've got this new pen that I showed you earlier on because I'm super excited about it. Stylish stroke pen, amazing. So as I was doing it, I got my fingernail stuck in the top of the pen lid, and started to really panic, like a child would do, hand stuck in a toy, like to the point where I was like, Charlotte, and like called Charlotte through thinking she might try to help me, and then she laughed at me and I realised just how much of a ridiculous shit 30-year-old adult male I am. So I just thought I'd share that.
Fair enough. It kind of sounds like how you you maybe over panicked when you were in London a few weeks ago.
That was not over panicking. Fuck me. Right. Can I crack on
because aye. That was the segue.
I don't really know how far into it I should go, because I was in London, as you guys know. Went down for a course and was down there for the week, and at the end of the week it was like, well, it's fucking Black Friday, which is one of the worst days of the year anyway. So I thought, I'll go to Oxford Street. That'll be quiet. So it wasn't. So took a dawn drop to Oxford Street, carrying a fucking huge roll-on case. Went up to there to go and get some bits and pieces to bring back up the road for, you know, for people. Mm-hmm. You know, those cunts. So I went, did that, went to Oxford Circus tube station, went into the tube station.
Uh-huh.
Was amazed as to just how much it is genuinely the busiest place I've ever been. It was like thousands of folk in there. And went through, started to go down the escalator, and an announcement comes across saying, British Transport Police to Platform 1 urgently. British Transport Police to Platform 1 urgently, please. And I was like, oh, it's very polite.
So, something to worry about.
Yeah, so I'm halfway down the escalator towards Platform 1, and I'm met with this massive growing scream, and this human stampede comes like rolling towards me, and I was just like, all right. Get me here then. So naturally at this stage I'm just like, right, fuck. Yeah. Like, everyone, this whole thing about like keep calm and carry on just isn't happening. Yeah. It's
a fallacy.
Yeah. And at that point in time, I was like, right, I might die. That was a genuine thought went through my head. Was, I might die just now. I better get out of here. So started to sprint up the escalator. Alas, falls down next to me. Gets trampled by people. I pick her up. She's fucking covered in bruises and scratches and turns around and just looks at me with a look of like, whoa.
Yeah.
So I was like, right, she runs, I run, get up to the barriers, literally kick off half a train ticket barrier, which, you know, they've not come back to me.
I was going
to
say, I'm pretty sure TfL will be happy about that.
I think they're okay with me doing it. Other cunts for skipping their fares, I'm just saying. So I'll get out of there and out.
You at least scanned your Oyster before you went through, didn't you?
I actually, genuinely, tried to scan my Oyster card, and it's some bastard, there is, some bastard tried to, well, didn't even try to, just like ran straight past me and like skipped through the barrier. And I was just like, right, mate, come on. Anyway, get out to street level. There's stampedes of people going everywhere. Mm-hmm. Royal Variety performance is about to start as well. So the place is swarming with people and swarming with police. So I get round onto Margaret Street, hide in a restaurant, literally hide. And I'm giving like first aid to people that are covered in like cuts and bruises and stuff. No idea what's going on. Messing you guys, trying to figure out what the hell's going on.
At this point, we're thinking that you're just like hanging about somewhere near and just like, oh, what's going on? What's the haps, guys?
What's happening in London, y'all?
It's like, well, you're there, Dave, don't you know?
That's it. Oh, yeah. It's like, that's 10 degrees warmer for starters. What do you mean? So, yeah, basically what happened in London was nothing, it turns out. But at the time, there was reports of gunshots and explosions. Yeah. The first thing I got was there's a lorry on the roads on Oxford Street. There's people with guns, and it was like, I saw police walk by the window with rifles pointed at it as well, and I was just like, right, I'm just going to stay here for a long time. So basically, I'm sheltering in a restaurant. The guy comes through who owns a restaurant and goes, can I get a drink for anybody? And everyone's like, yeah, glasses of water and stuff. And I was like, mate, can I have a pint? And he was just like, well, everyone else having water. And I was like, yeah. I get what you're saying. So he brought a pint across to me. An American guy that had kind of like been with me throughout and all this was just like, trust you to be the stereotypical Scotsman. And I was just like, this is how we keep camping. So yeah, basically
dull the fucking pain.
Yeah, the moral of the story is, and I mean, I've been to various places where there's been like kind of backed up on security.
You have actually,
I attract this shit. Yeah. So there was London, there was Brussels, where everything was cancelled at New Year, and there were guns everywhere. Where the fucking bells went off for like, well, Happy New Year. And then a firework goes off in the corner, everyone goes, happy. It's just like fear. But yeah, people need to calm down. That's kind of it. After me like getting so worked up and so scared, and not just me, but like thousands of other people
in the area,
BBC News was reporting on it, helicopters on the scene, all this sort of shit. Nothing happened, literally.
Well, that was it. It was so funny because it was all high-octane stuff on the news, and we're getting reports from you, we're sending you stuff, and then within about 10 minutes, it just went and fizzled completely out. Actually, there's nothing. There was nothing. Nothing.
Reopened the tube stations, fire away, mate, and it was just like...
It's like, don't know what happened.
Yeah.
But it seemed to be like there was maybe a loud bang on the tracks or something somewhere, and that there was maybe a couple of brown people fighting, so people panicked.
Yeah.
London.
That's totally it. Aye.
Good one, London.
Panic stations. That's kind of it. But the way that things are being reported on now as well is just the way to spread fear.
Well, yeah. It was entirely, like, for the BBC, Sky News, a lot of them, it was entirely just, it's the same when any events like this happens, it's just the reporting. Anything they have like no control over it. They're literally just not no control over it. They don't control it. That's just if something comes in, they just report it, and it's straight out there. And it's like
there's no editorial.
There's a level of like irresponsibility about that because
it's
like,
ruling news as well. Yeah. It's fucking well. It was need to get rid of it.
It was that as well as the fact you've got like it was. I'd heard about this like a week afterwards, and it was Ollie Murs was in John Lewis, which is
oh my god. Like, yeah, I can imagine the panic.
Ollie Murs was about 100 feet away from me. Oh my god! OMG! Blah blah blah. What the fuck? Anyway, he's putting up on Twitter saying. That he's heard gunshots from inside John Lewis. And it's just like, right, Nah, you didn't. I was in the tube station, and all I heard was people screaming for starters. Yeah. Like, but no gunshots.
What you heard was a car backfiring.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or probably just nothing.
Yeah.
But that's it, because he's got millions of followers. So that's instantly just going to spread fear as well.
I mean, you might have thought you had a tough time, Dave, but I was sitting there looking at my phone thinking, I really want to make a joke about this to Dave to try and calm him down and to take a piss out of him. But then what if he dies?
It's a valid point. Although
it was tough, Dave. It was fucking tough. I'm telling you.
I can totally understand it. Because the first message I get from my family was my mum saying, "I heard it's all your fault." True story. That's it. But my uncle sent her a message to be like, "Dave's safe. It's fine. Don't worry." My mum was just texting me straight away saying, "Emerson said you're safe." That's my uncle. "Emerson said you're safe, but you did say it was all your fault." So, yeah, supportive family chat.
Did somebody not make up a BBC headline of...
Massive ginger twat responsible for ruckus. Yeah. And, that was my brother. Yeah. Again, supportive family chat. Good, Chad.
That's good. I like it. I like it a lot. Yeah. But yeah, I quite like Mark's response to it, which was, you're a fucking pansy. Just like gunshots. I heard them all the time when I was in Brixton. It's like, and I don't doubt that.
Yeah. It made me think he maybe killed people.
When we were in Manchester, we had gunshots as well for the UFC mind.
Right enough. Mm. Yeah, totally. Yeah. All right. Oof.
So, yeah. Big pansy.
Totally. Should have known better.
So easy for us to just go, we weren't there. I'd imagine that situation would be pretty fucking terrifying.
It was. Especially it was utterly terrifying. Well,
where you're in such an enclosed fucking rat.
It's a horrible place. Like, London in general is a horrible place. See, as a visitor, all right, it's a big city.
For a day or two, but any longer.
Do you know what? I fucking love London. I would like to live there.
Couldn't live there. Fuck,
I totally
that.
Could.
I had the joys of pulling some lass off the tracks as well at West Brompton Station. So, I was there for a week and I nearly died twice. Like, fuck that.
Don't
need shit.
You nearly died maybe once.
Maybe once.
The other time you had a bit of a run.
I might have been trampled to death, but at least I didn't need to run uphill.
I'll tell you what, it was probably good for your cardio.
Oh, fuck. It. Throwing people out the way
and panic.
Yeah, totally.
Who needs bodybuilding?
It works. Can I say terror attacks to it? Don't. Don't. Avoid them.
So that's good. That's good. Yeah.
It is just on my notes there. It just says people need to calm down a bit, I reckon. Yep.
Yeah, I can get behind that. Definitely. Yeah. We're so lacking in structure or anything this week.
I'm sorry, I'm sitting like I'm disinterested, but it's because my neck's so sore.
And you're disinterested. No,
well, that as well. I'm not
I thought
like
you were more sitting like a 14-year-old schoolgirl that's madly in love with Dave.
It's true.
Tell me more. Oh, this is content for you guys out there. What are we, right?
Did anybody hear what the Times Person of the Year is?
Yeah, it's all the folk that...
The silence breakers.
Yeah, that's it, yeah.
Which is...
I think that's actually pretty good, considering Trump was claiming that he was up for it.
Yeah, well done, Trump.
Up for it, but they said, you're probably going to be Times Person.
Yeah,
totally. Time Person of the Year. It was like...
Yeah, yeah, I think he's more likely to be up for trial.
Yeah.
In his office, don't know about the Oval Office, but in his old office, he had a fake...
It's in one of his golf clubs.
Yeah, he had fake time with Trump Person of the Year, but he's never done it.
But he's never done it, yeah.
So, mind you, Time also gave a Person of the Year to Joseph Stalin at one point. So,
well, Time
and
also...
Hitler, I think.
Yeah,
but definitely Stalin. Maybe Hitler. I might be wrong by Hitler, but definitely Stalin.
At the end of the day, I mean, I suppose they made something of themselves.
They made right dicks of themselves. Yeah. Two other people that needed to calm down.
It's not the best person of the year. It's just person of the year.
Yeah.
My issue with Time magazine doing this, right? Like, fair play, better recognition for everyone, as they're getting already, which is fantastic. Uh-huh. But Time Magazine's founder is Michael Luce, right?
Uh-huh.
Michael Luce had a lawsuit filed against him by his own children, his own stepchildren, sorry, I need to get that fact right, for repeated claims of abuse against them. And they filed a $15 million lawsuit against them from the ages of 13 throughout the rest of their childhood. So
fucking hell.
Maybe good for them to be recognised, the silence breakers be recognised in some way,
yeah.
But maybe not the right mouth for it to come from.
Yeah, but then how much of time is to do with him these days is the other thing.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's the thing. But
I don't know. I genuinely don't know. But
I don't know much about time. I remember it's such a weird concept.
I do know it's a magazine, and magazines are struggling to get sales, and it's an awfully good way to get your magazine trending.
Well, yeah, that's true.
It's very, very hot topic. Yeah. So, yeah.
Sell that print.
Sell that print, indeed.
Sell that print. Get that content.
Aye.
Yeah. Get... Does anybody have any content?
Any more content?
I'm out.
Brexit. It's.
I was gonna say, how about that Brexit?
Yeah. Brexit, mate.
It is a proper clusterfuck at the moment.
It's David Davis, who seems to be trying to do himself out of a job.
Yeah.
On purpose.
I love the fact that like one of the things that he's decided to make his. Like his last stand is his last stand on the hill is the concept of being able to watch porn at work.
Oh yeah, Damien Green.
Yeah, Damien Green. Yeah,
yeah. It's
totally supporting him.
The whole thing is just
but like what it is, because any of these things are going to be better than the man that failed Brexit, the man that didn't manage to pull it off, which is where that's heading.
It's weird as well because. You've got, so apparently they had the agreement with the EU. Mm-hmm. We're just ironing out a few details. Mm-hmm. Then the DUP held a press conference.
Yeah.
Theresa May gets phoned during the thing with the EU. And they know it was definitely going to go ahead because they're expecting a press conference and journalists sort of knew. And the opposition were told to expect a statement from Theresa May that could take hours the next day. And then... Then they come out and say, oh, nothing's happened, but we're hoping to get it sorted in the next week or two.
Well, that was
but it's it. Like, holy shit. It's like, basically, this deal with the DUP, not only is it endangering the peace process in Northern Ireland, it's now destabilising the government here and endangering any sort of sensible thing for the peace process again.
Yeah.
Like, doubly so, because now they've got the border issue as well, and the DUP are trying to fuck it up when... That's what the Good Friday Agreement is.
Yeah.
To keep it intact, you need to have a free border as part of it. And I genuinely worry that this government, for sake of political expediency, made a deal with DUP and it's going to just blow up in everyone's face.
It's almost like they just looked at the percentages as to what would get them into power without actually looking at what fallout it may have having on board. Because it's just like, oh, they're sort of conservative-minded, so we'll go with them.
And they're pro-Brexit as well.
Yeah. So it's like, straight away, that's two boxes ticked, but I haven't realised that they're actually just massive bastards.
But you also get, like, so Rees Mogg in PMQs today, who has...
Turned...
Yeah, he was like, oh, your red lines turned into pink lines in EU, which in parliamentary language is like, holy shit. Yeah.
That is slang
to your Prime Minister as well. Like,
the leader of your party.
Yeah.
And
he's a big media figure and he knows that will get in the news.
Yeah.
But Rees Mogg is just horrific. He's got horrific views and...
He could be in the DUP.
He actually could be.
DUP. But yeah, I'd like to say I absolutely loved that yesterday where it was I sat and read the things where it's like, oh, your imminent deal looks like things are going to go ahead, government expecting positive results from today. It's like, oh, this will be interesting, let's see what happens, you know, they're actually going to pull something off.
Yeah.
And then I went away for about an hour or two and came back and it was just like, everything's fallen through.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's just like, yeah. And it turns out that it was Northern Ireland that was the problem and it was the DUP that have come along and...
And we're joining Africa.
Yeah. But I've just absolutely fucked it. And then, like, I was having a wee look on Twitter, which you have all the pro-Brexiters who are like, yay, the DUP have saved the day. And it's just like, oh, you have no idea. You just...
Also the government that... David Davis has said that he was lying himself, essentially, because he said they had 60 sectoral impact assessments.
And they have none.
And now they're saying they have none. They released a heavily redacted document, so redacted they couldn't tell if it actually contained them.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're saying, and now he's saying that they haven't actually done them.
Because he doesn't believe in them.
But if that's the case, that is, Brexit is the biggest economic change that's going to happen to this country for ages. Oh, also, by the way, this is from the OBR, who from the budget last week, who usually underestimate things or overestimate things. They just get it wrong all the time. Mm-hmm. And they've completely... It's going to be another, like, lost decade from the financial crisis in terms of living standards.
Yep.
People's living standards have gone down.
Yep.
And it's going to be the same for the next 10 years. And they're probably massively underestimating the impact. This is... I think it goes to 2022, so it's like 1 year after Brexit takes in. Uh-huh. But it's probably an overestimate as it is.
Yeah.
And it's going to be... And then you've got Brexit. Yeah. And so much so, you had Kamal Ahmed, the BBC economics editor, say, what's the point of capitalism? He actually wrote a blog, which was basically... Now, Kamal Ahmed's really good. I've seen a couple of things, and he's very evidence-based.
Yeah.
He's great, but you've got the BBC economics editor saying, what's the point of capitalism?
Yeah.
He's saying, like, if you say the point of capitalism is the next... If you work hard, you can earn more,
uh-huh.
and then your kids can earn more as well. But that's not the case anymore.
Yeah. And it's you have to work hard to live.
And Brexit's going to make it worse, but it's a thing in economics called secular stagnation, and it's a problem that happens all the time, all the time. Basically, the growth in GDP falls, and the only way, it consistently falls, and the only way to get it going again is either A, a war, because that's a big economic stimulus, or an industrial revolution of some kind.
Mm-hmm.
And wars are kind of like industrial revolutions.
Yeah, they've tried the war a few times, haven't they?
Yeah, that's kind of it.
It's just like, it's...
World War II was, and World War One especially was driven by economics in a big way. And it's really fucking scary.
It is.
I mean, we might not get a war, and maybe AI takes over, but I don't trust, like, the Elon Musk's of the world to... Or sorry, he's quite good at AI. Skynet's
coming.
But like, what will happen is they'll just keep all the money capital for themselves.
Yeah.
Fuck capitalism, listeners. That's basically.
Let's lead the revolution.
That sounds totally fair. The thing that got me as well was they were talking about the rate of inflation and how things are looking better for everybody monetary-wise. But the way that they kind of tried to justify it was by saying that because furniture and cars have come down in price... but petrol and food's gone up in price, so that's it equals out, and it's just like
because I'm buying furniture.
That's
every day.
I eat cars, like fuck you. It's mad.
It's absolutely
just
mad.
It's the way they try and put the positive spin on things, even though really what they're giving you is just terribly negative news. And the whole Brexit deal thing as well, the fact they're even needing to push for a deal when in reality, like we joined the common market in 1973.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So 71. With that being the case, a lot of politicians that are actually in charge of the whole Brexit negotiations weren't even around when the first deals were put into place. So it's just like, what are we running on? What's changed since then?
Yeah.
What the fuck's been voted for? Oh my God, what the hell's going to happen?
It's a bunch of baby boomers nostalgic for when they were teenagers.
Yeah.
But that's the thing, but capitalism did work back then, but it wasn't because people worked harder.
No.
Productivity's lower, but that's for a whole bunch. That's true across the world.
Mm-hmm.
And secular stagnation is a thing that you can see in historical records, and it happens. And it was predicted to happen as well, and it's happening. And basically, I think what you have to do is have a politics and an economics, which is, well, we won't have much growth, but we'll share it out better.
Yeah.
Basically, sort of like green social democracy sort of thing. We've got low inequality, maybe a basic income, wealth and land value taxes, so you can share it, all that sort of thing. But
A war.
Whatever. Or a war.
It's most likely to be a war, because that seems to be what we're permanently fucking aiming towards at all times.
And then you get rid of some of the population at the same time, and just,
Woo! Yeah, that's
just
it.
Just another thing for economics nerds. What's weird about this phase of capitalism, tons of stuff is becoming free.
Uh-huh.
So like your internet usage, and think how much stuff, content is created for free on the internet and on YouTube, and you just take for granted. Mm-hmm. And sure, we get a little bit of advertising revenue off that, but not much. But a lot of all the stuff that we create for free, things are becoming cheaper and cheaper, and will probably go down to free, like energy will probably be close to not free, but a lot cheaper in the next 20 years.
Yeah.
And it creates a big problem for capitalism because then they don't feed in.
Yeah.
And it's actually a huge problem. So yes, it's something, so it looks like people are like, oh, there'll be AI and robots. Uh-huh. That'll probably make things worse for capitalism, not better.
Did you see there was a thing posted on the Future Perfect World Facebook group? And it was about somebody who wrote a piece that was just, it was something that they said was a potential outcome of the very near future. The next 30 years, I think. And the idea is that you go out and work, but you don't actually get a pay anymore because, although you kind of do, it goes into services. So you no longer have to go out and buy things because your pay is covering a service that does it. So it's the idea of like how things are going at the moment, like Netflix, like the shave clubs, like, you know, you're slowly doling out so much money every month that
just not you need to go out and buy those things
because they're coming to you.
Yeah.
And then there's also a bit about like how AI starts taking over your choices because it actually knows you better than you do.
Oh, that's the thing. But like,
and then you know, it's making the decisions for you. So you're actually at a point where you're able to do other things, and like technically life's great because you're freed up to do lots of other things. But at the same time, it's like the idea is like it's either governments or corporations own everything and know everything.
But that's the thing. This is why I left that group on Facebook.
All right.
And what's his name from Beagle Group? It was very nice. Mm-hmm. He set it up. But it's like futurism.
Yeah.
Which I fucking can't stand. I read a lot of futurism news, but not because I'm like, oh, yeah. I'm like, oh, this is going to be horrific.
Yeah.
And I agree that, but that's one way it could go.
Mm-hmm.
Or we could communize most sectors. Like, within a country, you could give... if we have proper... robots, like good general robots.
Yeah.
You could essentially do energy, food, internet, transport, all that for close to free.
Yeah.
You get a basic income, you work a certain amount, and you maybe do a bit of wage labor because there's things people still want to buy.
Yeah.
But you could do it that way instead. Mm. But people are like, oh, no, you know. Anyway,
yeah.
I'll stop there because that's enough economics talk. Communise everything. No.
Tear it down. It was an interesting...
And just by communise, I don't mean state ownership. I mean collective ownership in commons.
Yeah.
Yeah, of people coming together. Not state ownership. Yeah. Different.
I thought it was just one idea of like how we're going at the moment is that that's how it could go.
Oh, totally.
Yeah,
definitely.
Totally into that serve everything service.
Yeah.
Like
yep.
you pay for, and so essentially you don't have a pay at the end of the day because everything's...
It's a weird thing to think though, because if you're getting certain usage out of those things, like for instance, £8 a month on Netflix because they just pumped up their services by 50 pence a month for every one of their users, which is just going to be fucking crazy amounts of money for them because they've got however many hundreds of millions of subscribers.
Mm.
So it's mad to think the fact that they can just do that and then be like, we have a massive bank of money now. Fuck you guys.
Yeah.
Because not everyone's making full use of that. So it's... The way I look at it is like back in the day we used to go out and do Beat the Ballroom. We used to go out and it was £10 all you could drink and we would drink all we could possibly drink and more. And it was 33 drinks was that you'd have beaten the ballroom.
Yeah. We lowered it to 27 after some other considerations. Yeah. But 33 was the original.
That's it. And because of inflation. So so that was it. 33 drinks. So if you went there and you had 10 drinks, they were making a profit.
Wholesale cost.
That's it. So,
and staff and electricity costs as well. We took that into account.
Yeah, we did the full budget on that shit. So if you went and had 10 drinks, they were making money out of you. But if you went and made 33 drinks, fuck those guys. We closed them down. But it's
and closed ourselves down as well.
But that's it. It's as you say, there's all these sort of subscription bits and pieces that are kind of taking everybody's money on a monthly basis. Mm-hmm. And if you're not making full usage of that, then these companies are just making a massive profit. That's the thing, it's crazy.
Well, I think about things like Adobe as well. I'm for the first time in my life paying for Photoshop and Lightroom. But that's because... And I'm not using it all the time, and I'm only using it for wee things. But at the same time, it's quite nice to have it, and quite nice to get all the updates. And
it's not you have to give a
couple hundred, few hundred quid over at once.
Yeah,
it's just a few quid a month.
£600. I'm paying like a tenner a month.
Yeah,
and it's like it's all right. But it's, then it's that thing. I'm not really using it to its full potential. So whereas before I would get a Dodge copy and use it a handful of times and you'll get the usage that I need out of it. Now I'm paying for it. Yeah. I'm actually paying for it and not using it.
That's the thing though, it's like rentier capitalism it's called as well, which is what we're going into more and more. Yeah. It's exactly the same thing. It's people owning large things like rents and the most obvious example is landlords, but you can think of it like Netflix.
Yeah.
And all these other companies. You're renting off of them the rights to these things, which could be a shitload cheaper.
Yeah.
Like a shitload cheaper.
Yeah.
And we could produce these things collectively and for fuck all. Yeah. And if you're getting almost everything you need apart from buying a few things, it's just it's so annoying. Mm.
Totally agree.
Yeah. Anyway. Especially when it's down to them to decide what it is that they're feeding you as well.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
At the end of the day, I make my own dinner. I mean, I want to know what the fuck I want to eat. I don't want somebody else to feed me whatever the hell it is. So, it does my nut in the way that these people can just kind of go, we're going to charge you this much and you're going to pay us.
Yeah.
Because.
But it's the way everything's going. Yeah. Like, everything's going that way. Even cars.
Yep.
Like, last Tesla's grand plan is like an Uber service of automated cars. Which then also work as backup energy devices, as storage grid. Yeah. For the grid. And it's like, oh, that's cool, but we could do it. It's like with Uber, there's a thing going on, Nestor doing a study with a driver co-op that's owned, but as soon as autonomous cars kick in, you won't have drivers owning it. It'll just be, but if that's the case, why can't we just have it so it's not state-owned, but publicly owned by people independently and make it work for people as low a price as possible?
That's
anyway.
It's interesting, like that idea of the automated car, so you do away with your own car, but that's because there's such a bank of automated cars that you can call upon at any time, and it's still like having a personal personal car, because and you pay a flat fee every month
or per mile, per mile it's still cheaper than a bus
or owning a car.
It's a terrifying thought, really,
isn't it? It is interesting.
Yeah.
Wow, we've really shot the shit here, haven't we?
Yeah.
So from no content to that was beautiful, guys. I do think it's probably time that we move on, though, and enter our little nonagon.
Ooh.
Welcome, one and all, back to the specially constructed imaginary nine-sided nonagon for another Fantasy Fight Club. I suggest you all settle in, for we have another tremendous fight card for you good folk out there tonight. If you're not familiar with the format yet, then I shall explain. Each of us puts two fighters into the nonagon to battle. These fighters can be anyone or anything. We then mull over their faults and merits and how we think the fight would go. We then all decide on a winner. Let's get ready to ramble.
I think Milo was joining in there. Your cat.
Ramble cat,
yeah. So, I've got a fight for us.
Oh.
It's a fight of the old man breakfasts.
Oh.
Yeah. I'm going to pit two different types of oats.
Cool.
Yeah. Going to go for porridge oats versus muesli.
Like, this is the worst fight we've ever done.
This is the blandest fight known to man. Is there anything in it? Or just straight up muesli?
Just straight up porridge and straight up muesli.
Right, okay.
Nah, do you know what? Fuck this. I'm going to go quickly. Muesli is always shit. You can put dried fruit in it as shit. Porridge only gets better when you... Like, it's good by itself, and it even gets better when you put whatever you want in it. Like, fruit, maple syrup... Whatever you fucking want.
Some fucking weirdos put salt in porridge.
Yeah, I was just about to say, what's your opinion on salt in porridge?
I thought only old people did that, and then Lemmy said on Twitter that he does it, and I'm like, oh, mate.
Do you know where...
Unfollow.
Do you know where the...
Report him.
Do you know where the money shot is? A little bit of salt, a little bit of sugar.
Oh, no. Catch. That's for popcorn. It's not for...
Just peanut butter, man. That covers it. You're sorted.
Peanut butter in porridge.
Do you know what I've taken to?
Aye, man.
I went through a big golden syrup phase of porridge.
Uh-huh.
I've been eating more porridge because
the last couple of weeks it's been colder, be like, oh, fuck cereal, I'm having porridge.
It's also, it's a really good, like, starter for your day because it's, like, especially if you have, like, honey or something like that. And
well,
it's slower release, so you'll have your quick hit with your honey or your whatever your sweet thing is, and then you've got slower release carbs.
I've been putting some raspberry jam in it. Just a spoonful of raspberry jam. It's fucking magic.
You crazy bastard.
It's so fucking good. It's so nice.
See, I'm quite a big fan of the old muesli. I do like it.
It depends. Some of it's like...
If you want to shit rabbit food, it's great.
Yeah.
See, that's compacted rabbit food. Sorry, I should be clear.
Ah, exactly. That's kind of it. It's like what we're talking here is like slow, stodgy, but powerful.
Yeah.
Versus like, at the other side of things, very fast.
I don't know, because like, again, it's the same kind of thing. It's long, slow release carbs in muesli. But then you've also got a little bit of, like, you've got a bit of fibre and protein with the nuts, and then...
I'm laughing, but only because this is such a shite fight club. I can't go where shit is.
I told you and I warned you.
Right, I'm calling it.
Oh, good.
Porridge. Every time. Yeah. 10 times out of 10, it wins.
Yeah.
I'm probably going to go porridge as well.
Yeah.
Done. Let's move on.
Right. Ding, ding.
Well, I'll bring in my fight.
Okay.
Which isn't great either. But it's better than that. So, usually Kutch has a solid gold content for
us. Is it Weetabix versus Shredded Wheat?
Oh, shit, you made me do it! No, it is, going off of our Brexit theme, DUP leader Arlene Foster.
Ooh.
Looking for the political upset against Theresa May.
Oh, I think we had Theresa in before.
Yeah, I know, but she's returning.
She's going to be just a continuous returning contender until somebody knocks her the fuck out.
Well, the unfortunate thing is Theresa May has the reach advantage because her arms are the length of Britain.
But Arlene Foster probably has a weight advantage. I did look this up on Wikipedia, but they don't have her height and reach.
She has the weight advantage both actually and like metaphysically as well.
Yeah, maybe. Like politically.
She probably would... Well, she does. She's proven it this week that she can flatten me.
She's also got... what struck me strangely about her, and I'm not usually one to be like, I'll judge her looks, but I'm going to. She looks like... You know the old disguise glasses you used to get that had the nose and moustache? Uh-huh. She's got the nose and that.
Whereas Theresa May always dresses like a despot from the future.
Mm-hmm.
Like a female despot from the future. No, totally. Like
she's the demon headmaster, mate.
Well, she's
like,
would not fuck about with that.
No.
Yeah.
But then it's Maybot, isn't it?
It is Maybot.
Yeah.
Yeah, but with that though, I mean, I've got the fear that if she was to, she strikes me as like, if I was to fall asleep and she was to come into the room, she could easily stretch her jaw so wide that she could just fucking swallow me in one. Theresa May is a terrifying woman.
Arlene Foster would just pound your fucking face in with her fist.
I'd wake up
and
to being killed.
Strong, harsh Northern Irish accent.
I think that's what makes her that bit scarier
Bit more intimidating, because a strong, harsh Northern Irish accent is quite intimidating.
Yes. Yes. I've spent a little bit of time in Ireland just recently. Yes. The Northern Irish accent is without doubt terrifying.
Like I say, I also have a problem with Theresa. Well, I have many problems with Theresa May, but whenever I hear her name, I always just think, Theresa May, Theresa May. It's like a shampoo advert.
She is salon quality.
Like, I actually do wonder if she's sponsored and changed her name.
I hope so.
It's funny because I've been buying a lot of Theresa May hair products recently. Although, only for...
Strong and stable hair, mate.
Only for salons.
It's only, yeah.
Or salon quality, whatever it is they play. Yeah.
She's shoddy quality.
Yeah.
No, that's it.
I don't know. I can't... I'd love to say I can't see me clinging on much further, and probably because Arlene Foster's going to just absolutely destabilise the Tories.
Yeah. Well, the problem is no one wants to take over at the moment as Tory leader. Apart from Rees-Mogg, who wouldn't work.
This is the problem, is that she's got a bit of Teflon coating at the moment.
Yeah.
Her suits are made of Teflon, because it seems to... doesn't matter what shit gets thrown at her.
Her suits are made for Teflon. That's just what they'll do.
She'll slip right over you.
Yeah.
Squeak. But yeah, like she... there's, I guess, it's this thing. It's like, it's the same with Trump. There's so many things that it's now actually just become like farce. Mm. It's so farcical, but nothing will stick. And people now just expect that. There's no, like, she's done things which would have had like previous prime ministers out the door, so quick. And it's just a string of them. I mean, Christ, what happened yesterday? That would have been a vote of no confidence straight away.
There's also like people saying, oh, why aren't Labour 7 points ahead? It's like they are 7 or 8 points ahead under Servation polls and YouGov polls, which were the two pollsters which got the last election anywhere near right. And pretty much right. Mm-hmm. You know, they're within the margin of error. Whereas all, if you take the poll of polls, I think Labour are like less than 1% ahead, maybe 1%. But if you actually look at the two pollsters whose methodology works,
yeah,
then they are 7.6, 7, 8 points ahead, you know.
Yeah, I think.
And they know that, and that's why there can't be another election, because they know they'll probably lose.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And that's that's why she'll cling on.
But that's
cling
why, like that's why do you, that's why I'm backing Arlene Foster in the fight. She has all this power.
Yeah.
And she could just tell me, she's like, submit or I'll not make you Prime Minister anymore. She's like, oh shit, I'll submit.
That's kind of it. It's like, I would want Arlene to win just for the sheer fact that it might make Theresa May crumble to dust. And then with that, Arlene Foster can't take over, so just gone.
Although, then again, quite like Mark's idea is that, you know, she's maybe just there to, May's there just to, like, outlive them all. It's like a quickening. There can only be one. And every time one of them drops out, she absorbs their soul.
I think she is maybe 750 years old.
Ruth Davidson is standing there with a sword behind her neck, just thinking about it, like, is it the right time? I don't think it is, but I could definitely grab power just now.
Do it, Ruth.
I don't know. She's a bit slimy as well. Like, there's times where I think, she's all right, and then
Tory.
Then Tory, full Tory comes out, and it's like, no, I'm being tricked.
Another person with the ability to bring down the government with her almost all of her, maybe one or two wouldn't follow her, but she's got like, what, 10, 11 MPs?
Tory MPs, yeah.
They'd follow her, you know?
Yeah, I think that is it's a concern as well, because just one slip. The Scottish Conservatives could turn their back.
Right, I'm going to call it.
Yeah.
And I'm going to go for Arlene Foster by slamming her fucking head in like a gorilla.
I would also go for Arlene Foster by Donkey Kong.
Like, yeah, so Donkey Kong. That makes more sense.
Crushed to dust.
See, I still think no matter what Foster throws at her at the moment.
You think T-Bone can hang on?
Yeah, I think she'll just slip out the way. Slide right under her and pop up the other side.
Get a calf slicer.
Yeah, I'll be popping the back and... I mean, let's face it, when Foster's down, she's not getting back up, is she?
No.
So, yeah, I think May will take that fight.
Yeah. I just want to say, I saw Calf Slicer live this weekend, and I love leg locks. Not live, on TV, but still, I lost my shit. Sure. Someone got a Calf Slicer. That never fucking happens.
It's not within 30 seconds of the 30 first
30 seconds! Thing. The Welsh guy as well. Fuck yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Impressive stuff, like...
What a night.
Yeah.
Oh, one night.
So, ding, ding.
Yeah.
Dave.
Well, mine, as always...
Oh, God, here we go.
It's a bit ridiculous.
Dave brings notes with him, listeners, and it always makes me feel... Like, Kutch has his intro and that written down.
And then I fucking freestyle it from there.
He rock
I rely
microphone
on everybody else.
In stereo, with a freestyler. Yeah. But
everything
Dave's
I see
always
is...
well prepared, like a motherfucker.
Everything I see is scripted. From start to finish, not really, but this bit is basically I went for something that it's an annoyance to me, and it's because why, that's it. It's basically I just find it infuriating. Now, my fight is named storms versus what just used to be the weather. Right, now, tomorrow, Storm Catherine's coming. Right?
Isn't it Caroline?
Might be.
Because every time it's on the news, I go, Caroline!
So, yeah, it bothers me a tad. Now, it is Storm Caroline. I've even written it down. Yeah, so, according to the news, Storm Caroline's coming to kill us in our sleep. So you shouldn't leave the house because of things.
Do you know what? It's going to test out my new roof.
There you go.
Will your roof be done by then?
It's done.
Oh, is it done?
No, the roof's done. It's just
I just saw scaffolding in darkness when it came in. Done, so.
Yeah. So listeners, I've just had a new roof put on and literally finished today. And yeah, we've got a storm coming. Yeah.
As Dave said when we came in, Kutch taking the scaffolding as Christmas decorations. It's an interesting, it's quite a brutalist approach, but I like it.
It's like industrial festivities.
Derelict.
Derelict my balls.
Instead of a nativity scene and a Christmas tree out front, we've got three pallets full of old slate.
It's worth doing, man. Smash them up like old snow.
Scratchy old snow.
Throw it in neighbors' windows. Slate angels
shouting, yay, the slate angels have been
you can get somebody you don't like and grey wash them.
Oh, I do not want a slate ball thrown at me.
You could use them with slate like placemats are very trendy just now.
But fuck you. No, what we will do
alright, calm down.
We will take some of them and take them around the back because there'll be things that we can use them for in the garden. So we're going to say half inch, they're ours. We're going to take them before Beatsons take them away tomorrow.
Yeah, man. And then the gypsies will come and get them like day after tomorrow, maybe. They know they're attracted to them. They're actually magnetic.
Whoa. Not sure where I lie with this.
Sorry, are you, travellers.
Are you toying the line, Dave?
That's the line. I'm all right with that. It's fine.
So, basically,
Storm Caroline's coming to kill us all. We shouldn't go outside because there's rain and wind and terrorists. Mm-hmm. And we might get swept into a group of terrorists and become radicalised by the wind and rain.
Yeah, but now we feel like, you know, we're kind of able to talk about the weather like the Americans do when, you know, they have horrific hurricanes and tornadoes that come and, like, and, you know, monsoons.
Yeah.
And, you know, all this kind of stuff when all this shit comes along and absolutely destroys, you know, entire seaboards. Yeah. And we get a wee bit of wind.
That's kind of it. It's like in 1996 on Boxing Day, the roof got blown off the Carnegie swimming baths, right? And half of Dunfermline was out watching it and going like, that's impressive. That's pretty cool. I look at the wind doing that thing. Like, the best one that we had was Hurricane Bobag, without a doubt. And that was the first storm that they tried to
do. They said it on ITV News. It's official.
Which is great.
Was that not like a three-day thing, though, as well?
Yeah.
It was just like we were constantly getting battered.
Troubling.
That's the first one I remember where it was like, like, we got sent home from work. And I was like, oh, shit, it's impressive. We got sent home from work and the wind died down.
Because I do remember that was actually quite a proper windy year, those couple of days. But cause I remember going down Aberdour Road it was obviously like about this, maybe a couple of weeks earlier, and the leaves were still on all the trees, or had been, and then this came along, and Aberdour Road was just like green and orange, like covered, and there was like bits of tree on the ground as well, but like I've never seen like the trees lose their leaves like that before, because it was just so harsh that they just emptied down onto the street.
But our leaves, like, were they of names, of a named storm that caused it?
No.
So it's just wind. And like, wind, I remember back in the day, it was like...
Then again, we now no longer just have like weather and a bit of wind. We've got the tail end of a hurricane.
Yeah, totally.
Which already has a name, and then we give it another name.
Yeah. Must be a new thing as well, because we never used to get them like 5 years ago.
Fucking well, infuriating. That probably is true, though. Well, mind you.
Yeah, that's true, yeah. Cheers, not global warming, because you're not real, apparently. But it's the thing that annoys me the most is the fact that like it used to just snow. And it's like it would snow, was windy, we'd have a blizzard. Now there's weather bomb Walter that's coming to shit in your driveway and steal your Vauxhall Corsa. It's just like... just the worst combination of things that this one bit of cloud can do. And worst of all, it's coming from Siberia. It's like, it's fucking does my nut.
Warm cloud from Siberia. What?
Kutch was opening a door of our listeners for to add sort of ambience of doors clattering during storms.
Storms, yeah, that's totally what I was doing.
Sound design, bitches.
Yeah, tin can audio. You can't beat that.
Oh, you'd hate that so much. Oh, and my phone just went off.
Yeah, we're so professional. I don't know. The naming thing, there is a... I get it a little bit, because it does make it just easier to... Like, well, you know what? I don't. It's the news. It makes it easier for the news to report on it.
Makes it easier for the news to make people scared of the rain.
Yeah,
that's
and to then do the thing that they like doing in the States, where they dangerously send out reporters into stupid storms to try and report from it. And it's like, yes, somebody's going to die.
Yeah, that's it. We've got this twat in Brighton.
Yeah. it's like, yeah, and he's standing right at the edge of the rocks, right on the... You know, where the biggest waves are hitting, he'll be fine.
He'll be all right. Ah, that's it. It's like, I've already seen four children be swept into the sea today.
He won't
it's only the
it.
Morning. Yeah. What's going to happen next?
Do you know what, though? We're having so many, like, and this isn't meant to be glib, but we're having so many horrible forest fires in California now. But maybe we'll start naming them as well, because they're so fucking, we're having so many, and they're spreading so quickly.
It's newsworthy, isn't it?
Well, do you know what's weird is that they have so many forest fires, but they don't have, in Australia, they have a massive volunteer, like, a lot of guys are volunteer firefighters who just go and throw water and stuff to try and stop it spreading, but they don't have that at all.
Well, it's the issue with America as well, is there's certain places that don't have enough water to be able to...
California is being in drought.
But it's Arizona as well recently. It was it was actually Doug Stanhope was on Joe Rogan's podcast.
I saw that, I'm going to listen.
He was saying that the town hall in his town burnt to the ground because he didn't have enough water to fight the fire.
That's fucking insane.
And it's just like, Jesus, it's mad.
But climate change isn't real, guys.
I was just saying, it doesn't exist.
It's not a real thing.
It doesn't exist.
What they need is a weather bomb. That would do it. Get a weather bomb over there, right? Weather bomb, whatever the fuck.
Just like we're talking about, redistribution, but of weather.
Weather.
Yeah. Oh, he needs a bit of wind.
Yeah.
Just how it works, right? Yeah.
Let's give Poseidon a call. Mate, we're going to tax this shit, right? But we're going to redistribute it.
Right, but what we'll do is we'll go down to FMC down there and we'll go to the wind turbine. And what we'll do is we'll just reverse it so it blows wind out and we can push the wind away from us.
It is a windmill.
Yeah.
Just like that guy on Twitter a few weeks ago. I don't know if I mentioned this already. Did I mention on podcast?
I don't know if you did, but I remember.
I was arguing with a guy about renewable energy and he said, couldn't you argue that more wind turbines lowers the air pressure, which means more hurricanes?
No.
I was like, no.
You're right.
Actually, no. Like, you have a total, complete misunderstanding of how this works.
But fuck it, it's going to work for our thing.
Yeah. But yeah, no, I'm let's turn
that's how
all,
wind works.
All the ones along Mossmorran as well, we'll just turn them around and we'll reverse them, because it's like Superman, you know, if you reverse the spin of the earth, we'll go back in time. If you reverse those, they'll put wind out.
Yeah.
It's like how water, you know, like goes uphill and then into clouds, and then the clouds come out over the sea and then, you know,
that's
rain,
and
then the water goes back up the hill. Into
pretty
the
sure
clouds.
That's how it works. So
that's it, because the rain in Spain falls mainly in the sea.
Yeah.
That's how it works, right?
That famous...
that is, yeah. That's, famous phrase. Anyway, I'm going for nostalgia's sake, and I'm going to say, just, it's weather. It's
Brexit's coming. Brexit's coming. You'll win. You'll get your way in the end after all.
The good old days.
You'll get your blue passport, you'll get your incandescent lights, and you'll be able to talk about the weather without naming it.
And my Hoover might work properly.
Get your old Toblerone as well.
Yeah. Oh.
Well, hang on. I'm right with that.
Where are you going with, Kutch?
We shouldn't be such pansies. Let's just talk about the weather.
Your cat's being an asshole.
Your cat's trying to evolve and stand up.
Trying to attack you.
I think there's a wee midge on your blind.
It's a dead midge. It's been there for a while. And now he's just been a dick.
Well, I'm going to split the difference.
Uh-huh.
First, because I didn't really like my idea until Caroline came along, and I keep now getting Caroline in my head every time. But I'm going to split the difference and say we can keep the names only if they've given stupid names like Benedict Cumberbatch
or Burnt Island Coated Beef.
Just willfully stupid names. Then you can keep them. Otherwise, fuck off.
Bundy Back Cumbie Bum.
Yeah. Yeah. Fuck it.
Bendy Back Cumbie Bum.
Yeah.
Or Engelbert Humperdinck.
Yeah, exactly. That's what we should be called.
Engelbert Humperdinck.
Or Hurricane Bobag, something
Hurricane
like that.
Hurricane Bobag, yeah.
Yeah.
Zebra. Fucking zebra. Just go through the Buffy Swears keyboard. Yeah, that'd be it.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Ass. Quim.
Hurricane Quim would be welcome on our show. It's like.
So many jokes there, but we're all horrific.
Yeah. Buggery. Yeah, that'd be good. I think that's what we should do. You're right. Definitely. Well, cool. That brings us to a close for another evening. Do you want to give us a socials, Jamie?
I would, yes. Please talk to us on Facebook at facebook.com/fiveclubpod or at Five Club, Twitter at Five Club, email Ken at fiveclub.co.uk, Instagram Five Club, or on our website at www.fiveclub.co.uk.
Booyah! Yeah, cool. I think that's it. I don't think there's very much else to say at the moment, is there? No. Next week, we will be probably back with the Star Wars episode. We're going to be recording two episodes in one day and we'll put them out each week, so we'll see how that goes. Again, we're full of promise and don't always deliver. We're going to try and make sure we do deliver a bit more now.
Sounds a lot like me in bed.
Just when you're sleeping.
yeah.
So Dave, it's that time of the night. Would you like to give me a motto?
Motto for this week would probably be coining the old phrase from Keep Calm and Carry On, but just going for half of it and just keep calm. Or maybe just calm the fuck down. Just chill out. Jesus Christ.
Fair enough. Good night.
Night.
Good night.
We're going further. Can you talk, Dave?
Hello. I'm just not really saying very much, so it's just not showing anything. Okay.
Hello.
Cool.
Hello.
It doesn't pick up bass.
That deep a bass.